Good morning. So grateful to be here and to worship God with everyone that's with us today. Always great to have guests in our number. If you would open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2 and follow along there with me this morning. As always, I hope you check to make sure that everything I say is true. We're going to be doing a little bit more turning today than maybe what is typical when I'm up here. So just, I guess, get ready for that. Philippians 2, verse 14 says simply, do all things without complaining and disputing. This morning's lesson is based on that text right there. Do all things without complaining. In my experience, this is one of those texts, one of those verses that we read every once in a while, and we remember and we kind of acknowledge what it's saying to us. And so it might have a positive impact on us for a few hours. Maybe we do a little less complaining, or maybe a day or two if we're really good. You know, we complain a little bit less for a while. But overall, it's just kind of a blip on the radar of our life. And, you know, we just go about our way, and we complain whenever we feel like it, and it is what it is. But I think we can do better than that. I think we can do better than that. When we look at this verse, do all things without complaining, do you know what that's telling you? I could go back, I could get my Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, that real thick book, and we could look up every word and find out the original Greek for every word in that sentence. It's not that long. It wouldn't take us that long to do. We could go back and I could pull out six different commentaries from different educated men and find out their thoughts on Philippians 2:14 to get a better idea. But let's be real. Do we need to do that with this verse? You know what this is saying? It's saying, don't complain about things. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I love it when it's easy. I'm good with easy. I like that. I can do this. I can understand this. But it's really hard to follow, isn't it? Really easy to understand, but boy, is this hard to follow. Because complaining is easy. Complaining is really, really easy. And so, how can I do better at this? Because it's also important to recognize God is not going to ask you or me or anybody. He's not going to ask us to do anything that's too difficult to do. At least not with his help. Everything God asks us to do and tells us to do, we're able to do. It might be hard, but with his help and going to his word for guidance on how to do it, we are able to do everything God asks us to do. And that includes not complaining about things. So let's dig in this morning. And try to figure out how we can stop complaining about things. First, we have to examine our heart. We have to examine our heart. And we got to stop and think, what's the big deal about complaining anyways? What's the big deal? Why does it matter? Why does God care if I complain or not? If I'm doing what he asked me to do, if I'm treating others well, so what? Whether I'm complaining to myself or to someone else to hear, what's the big deal? The big deal at its core is complaining is a heart problem. Complaining is evidence. Complaining is the symptom of deeper issues within our heart that we have to deal with. Luke 6 and verse 45 has a similar statement to what Jimmy read for us in Matthew 12 a few moments ago. Luke 6 and verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. And notice this last part of the verse. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. That passage gave us two categories, right? Either you're producing good things from your heart or evil things from your heart. Which one do you think complaining falls into? It doesn't fall in the good category, does it? Complaining is one of those evil things that is produced from our heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. Whatever you speak starts from your heart. I think there's three big reasons, there's probably more, but three big reasons why people complain. The first, complaining reveals discontent. Complaining reveals discontent about something. Because we don't complain about things that are going well for us, right? And that might seem kind of obvious, but just think about it for a minute. Who's ever gone home and said, you know, my boss offered me a raise today. Isn't that just awful? man, I can't stand my job. I can't believe he offered me a raise. Or you don't get home and you know, you say, my wife, she had the house spotless. She had my favorite meal on the table, and she had my favorite dessert in the oven. She's the worst. We're really struggling with this marriage thing. My child, he got all A's on his report card. I try to tell him to slack off and earn a couple B's and C's now and then, but I just can't get through to him. I don't know how to do this parenting thing. It's so hard. My health has been great. I'm just full of it. Is this that spiritual sarcasm you talked about with a few weeks ago? Maybe it is. My health is great. I just wish I'd get sick once in a while, right? We don't complain about things going well for us. We complain about things that aren't in our favor, that aren't going well for us. But should we be doing that? If we're complaining about those, are we content with our life or not? When we complain about those negative circumstances. If you're in Philippians 2 still, go over to Philippians 4. Remember what Paul said in verse 11? Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. When you're complaining, what you're proving is that you have not learned to be content in whatever state you're in right then. Because Paul was in much worse physical condition than any of us could imagine when he wrote the book of Philippians. And so whether or not we are content or discontent is not based on our physical circumstances. It's not. It's based on your spiritual circumstances and your relationship with God. You go on to read verses 12 and 13. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christians are expected to be content in any physical circumstance. And if we're content, then what do we have to complain about? But complaining might not be a sign of discontent. It could also be a sign of ingratitude. Sometimes we get so focused on what a person has not done or what a person has done poorly that we take for granted what they have done for us, right? This might seem more obvious in children. The obvious example to me is when a child complains about what mom or dad has prepared for dinner, and you have a meal out on the table that the child did nothing for. Oh, I don't like that. I don't want that. They complain about what's for dinner, right? Well, you're not being very grateful. And we kind of expect that from kids to an extent, but we need to be teaching them to be grateful, right? But adults can do that too. I may have come close to complaining once or twice about something that's been for dinner or maybe a few too many onions in a certain dish or something of that nature. That's being ungrateful, isn't it? Especially if I'm not the one that's done the work for it. Gratitude has to be developed. And when we've not learned to be grateful for something, we reveal that when we complain about what's been done for us. If you've done yard work and someone complains because you didn't do it the right way, right? Well, be grateful for what someone has done, not ungrateful for the fact they didn't do it right or whatever. And this kind of ties in with the next one. Complaining reveals a poor perspective. A poor perspective. You could call this pessimism, I guess. When your sink is full of dishes, dirty dishes, what do you see there? Do you see, oh great, there's a big mess I have to clean up? Or do you see the results of having food on your table and having family or even friends to share it with? It's the same scene, but how do you see it? What's your perspective on that issue? When you have a whole bunch of toys out on the floor, again, do you see another mess to clean up? Or do you see, hey, I've got kids that are able to play and have fun and have a good time in this house? Do you complain that you have to mow the yard, or are you grateful that you have a yard to take care of? Do you complain about your job, or are you grateful that you have a job, that you're able to get a paycheck to support your family and yourself? When your health starts failing in your old age, do you complain about your joints and your various physical ailments all the time, or are you grateful that you're still around, that you still have more time left on this earth? Or are you even grateful maybe that that you're one step closer to heaven. You're one day closer to your eternal reward. No matter what the reason for complaining is always a choice. We always have a choice. There'll always be something to complain about. It's too hot. It's too cold. I'm so hungry. I'm starving. I'm so full. I'm going to be sick. There's always something to complain about, right? No matter what the circumstance. I think Proverbs 29 gives us an interesting way to look at this. Proverbs 29, verse 11 says, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." A fool vents all his feelings. Whatever he's feeling, he just lets it known. He has no check on his emotions, on his feelings. He just goes with his gut, right? Just because you feel like complaining doesn't mean you have to complain. It's kind of a novel idea, isn't it? That might be new for some of us to think about, really. I can have a complaint, I can have a thought in my head, but I can keep it to myself. I can keep that to myself. I don't have to verbalize that. If we want to actually do what God says, we need to stop when we have a thought to complain, when we want to vent that feeling towards someone, and do some examination. Do some digging. Why am I feeling that way? Why do I want to complain about whatever it is? And work on fixing if it's one of these issues, or something else perhaps as well. So what can I do instead? What can I do instead? We need to establish the proper use of our tongue. You can say, just stop complaining. And for some folks, that might work. Some folks don't like to talk as much as others. So not complaining for them might not be a big deal. Keeping your mouth shut is a good idea sometimes. It is. Proverbs 10 and verse 19, the last part of that says, "He who restrains his lips is wise." He who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." He who guards his mouth is wise. We've got to guard our speech, right? We've got to watch what we say. But you know, this is true about a lot of things in life. It's not just enough to be anti-complainers. It's not just enough to be against something. We should be against complaining. But it's difficult to cut a bad habit out without replacing it with a good habit, right? And so let's learn to use our tongues for things that God has intended us to use them for. Proverbs 15, verse 28 says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." You know, when I complain, I tend to do it without much thought. Again, complaining is easy. It just kind of comes out, right? You just kind of say it without thinking much about it. It's easy. But a righteous man is supposed to give thought to what he says. You think about what you say before you say it. Proverbs 16:23, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth." The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs tells us over and over again to seek wisdom, get wisdom. If you want to be wise, if you want to stop complaining with this issue, you have to teach your mouth. Learn to control your mouth. When you train your tongue, you are simultaneously training your heart. The heart and the tongue are connected. You saw that in Luke 6 and Matthew 12. One more proverb, Proverbs 10, verse 20. The first part says, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver." Choice silver. There's things that God intended us to use our mouth for. You consider Ephesians 4 and verse 29, what it says about the proper use of your tongue. It says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Your words have power. Your words have power. You get to choose how to wield that power in what you say and what you don't say. God intends for his children to use our speech for good. Turn with me over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and let's read verses 5 through 12. In thinking about our tongue and what God intended us to use our tongue for, and the challenge of trying to tame our tongue. James 3, starting in verse 5, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." You know, when it says back up in verse 8, no man can tame the tongue, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. It doesn't mean it's impossible, right? It's telling us it's hard, but look, what did it say in verse 10? "These things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." It's the same imagery there, again, that we read back in Matthew 12 about the tree producing good or bad fruit. It's one or the other. What is it that you want to produce? What is it that you want to flow from your mouth? Blessing or cursing? And this makes the point, you can't really do both. You can say, oh, but I said this and I said that. Yeah, I complained, but then I praised God. Yeah, I complained about something, but I was you know, blessing someone else. When you go around complaining, you're contaminating the rest of your speech. You soil all of it. You're spoiling the influence of your speech when you go around complaining all the time. It spoils the rest of your speech. So what can I do instead? What can I do instead of complaining? If I'm going to get rid of this habit, what can I replace it with? If you look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's a lot of places we could go for some great ideas on this, but I think we get a nice package in 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll start in verse 11. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." How about, instead of complaining, how about you encourage someone instead? Verse 12, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." I understand this verse is saying more about the shepherds amongst our number, but we have the idea there of recognizing those individuals, of praising, of complimenting individuals with our mouth, instead of complaining about them, right? Instead of complaining, we can compliment or praise. Skip down to verse 16. "Rejoice always." Again, I love it when it's easy. That one's easy. Instead of complaining, rejoice about something. Find something to be glad about. Anyone seen the old Disney movie Pollyanna? Anybody ever seen that here? I see a couple heads nodding. All right. She played the glad game. Remember that? She was the most optimistic person you can imagine. I think that term Pollyanna has become, it's kind of a thing we say in our society from that film of someone who's just always positive. And whenever something negative would happen, she would play the glad game and say something positive instead. And there's a pretty good scene in the movie where a whole bunch of adults are complaining and they're getting upset at her because she's always so positive. Why can't you ever say anything bad? And they get to complaining about the preacher in town, because they couldn't stand the preacher and they couldn't stand his sermons. And so they challenged Pollyanna to say something positive about Sundays. Sundays are just terrible because we got to go and listen to that awful preacher. And she thought real hard, and finally she said, well, there are 6 more days until we have to listen to him again. And so she found something positive about that. There's always something we can say to rejoice or to be positive instead of complain. Complaining is easy. But what are we focused on? We focused on those negatives, or are we focused on what we have to rejoice about? Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Can you think of a better substitute for complaining than prayer? That's a pretty good one, right? That's a pretty good one. Maybe when you find a reason to complain, maybe that should be an indication. That should be the signal that goes off. And instead of complaining, if you can teach your mouth to just stop, just wait a minute, and you bring that thought to God in prayer instead, maybe that would be a more effective way to deal with those issues that we have, to deal with our discontent or our ingratitude or our poor perspective, whatever it is that's causing us to complain. Let's take those thoughts. Let's channel that emotion. Let's redirect that frustration to God in prayer instead. You're still dealing with it. You're still addressing whatever it is that's bothering you, but you're doing so in a much more productive and healthy activity in prayer instead of complaining and contaminating our lips and contaminating your heart. And finally, verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will for you and your life. Remember, Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaining. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. These are absolutes, right? I know it's easier said than done, but there's not really exceptions to that. But you have to choose the right perspective. And even if you find yourself in the position of Job, when he was going through his hardships, or even the position of Lazarus lying at the rich man's gates with the dog licking his sores, if you have the ability to go to your God in prayer, and if you have the hope of salvation we've been talking so much about in recent weeks, then you have plenty to rejoice for and plenty to give thanks for, no matter what else you're going through physically. Look back at Matthew chapter 12, where Jimmy read for us earlier. I want us to reread this again. This passage is not talking strictly about complaining, but it is talking about the way we use our mouth. It's talking about our speech and what comes from our heart. Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37 again. Either make the tree good and its fruit good. By the way, you're the tree, okay? You're the tree here. Make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What's the big deal about complaining? It seems harmless, doesn't it? It seems so simple. What's the big deal if I just complain a little bit? What's the big deal? Every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. That's the big deal. Jesus says it's a big deal. It's not very popular to consider the day of judgment, right? And to think that my actions actually have an impact on the day of judgment. But this is what Jesus says to us. This is his warning to us. By your words, you'll be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. You have the choice to complain, or you have the choice to encourage, compliment, rejoice, pray, give thanks. There's several options. Pick one. I don't care which one you pick. And to be honest, I don't think God cares which one you pick, as long as you're doing one of these instead of complaining. But what we see in Matthew 12 and James 3 is you can't do both effectively. You can't do both effectively. You remember what we read at the very end of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18? What did the last part of that verse say? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. I'm going to turn back just to make sure I get it right. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is God's will for you? The last thing we need to think about with this idea of not complaining is, what is God's vision and purpose for my life? And how can I embrace that? How can I embrace God's vision and purpose for my life? Not by complaining, in case you're not sure about that one yet. Complaining is such a self-destructive practice. It's way more self-destructive than we give it credit for. When you choose to complain, you're ruining God's purpose for your life. You're ruining God's purpose for your life. When you choose to complain, you are destroying the quality of life God has called Christians to live. The type that Paul talked about in Philippians 4. I've learned to be content in everything. I'm in prison, I'm fine. Doesn't bother me, I'm fine. Complaints don't originate from your tongue. They don't start in your mouth, do they? We've already addressed it, but where do complaints start from? It starts from your heart. Every complaint you utter, every sigh, every groan, it originates from your heart. What are we told to do in Proverbs 4 in verse 23? Above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. When you complain, you are allowing poisonous toxins to originate from and flow from your heart. It's exactly what you're doing. You're allowing poison to form and flow from your heart when you complain. You're supposed to guard your heart. You're supposed to guard it. Now, you get to decide what enters your heart and what stays out. Now, you may say, I can't stop these seeds of discontent from landing in my heart, right? We can't stop these thoughts from coming into our mind. I can't help but have these ungrateful feelings sometimes. Or just to have some natural, I'm just a pessimistic person, and those seeds just land on my heart. That might be true to a point. But you can help what you think about. You can help what seeds you choose to water. Right? You can choose what to cultivate in your heart. You can choose what weeds to pull from your heart. And you can choose what seeds you want to produce to the point that they produce fruit. You get to choose what fruit to produce from your heart or not. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. You read that in both Matthew 12 and Luke 6. The bottom line is, when you complain, you're not guarding your heart. You're not guarding your heart when you complain. And that's kind of the end of the line, right? That discontent, that ingratitude, that pessimism, whatever, already that originated a long time ago. Complaint is just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm doing that wrong. When you fail to guard your heart, there are consequences. There are real consequences when we fail to guard our heart and we get to the state of complaining about things. Complaining destroys your joy. But we read about in 1 Thessalonians 5, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He said that just after he said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. To live a life of joy and prayer and thanksgiving. When you're complaining, you're destroying your joy. You're doing that to yourself. Yes, this life is hard. Yes, Jesus promised that Christians would face hardships and that we'd have to carry our own cross. However, make no mistake, Jesus intends for Christians to live a life of joy. Don't forget that. We forget that too often. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's the life Jesus wants you to live. Keep going, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We have the same from 1 Thessalonians 5, don't we? Rejoice, prayer, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus wants you to rejoice. He wants you to have that peace of mind that only He can give. God would not have told you to rejoice always unless that was possible. He would not have told you that you can have the peace of God unless that was possible. God wants you to rejoice and have peace of mind. But when you choose to complain about anything, you're wrecking that peace of mind. You're ruining your joy. Sometimes we say we need to vent. And there are certainly times when we have to talk about issues, real issues of this life, that we need to address and find solutions to. But when you complain just for the sake of complaining, again, when you grumble, when you sigh, when you grunt, that'll make you miserable. It'll make you miserable. Complaining will never bring you joy. It robs you of your joy. Complaining will never set your mind at ease. It steals your peace of mind. Not only will complaining make you more miserable, it makes other people around you who have to put up with you miserable too, because they don't want to hear it. Do you want to hear other people complain? Of course not. No one likes that. No one enjoys being around another complainer. And that leads to the next problem, and it's complaints destroy your example. Complaining destroys your example. Go right back to where we started, please, in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 14 again, and go on into verse 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without faults, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You are supposed to shine as a light in this world. That's Jesus' plan for your life, is for you to be a light of His, shining. And when you complain, you're ruining that. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When you complain, you're not shining your light. You have put that light under a basket. Just like the kids sing not to do, right? That's what you're doing when you complain. You've either put your light under a bushel or you've let Satan blow it out. Your light is not shining when you complain. If you want to be the type of example that glorifies God, you aren't going to do that by being a complainer. You're just not. You're producing that evil fruit. People don't look at you when you complain and say, "Gee, they look like such a happy person. I wonder what it is about their life that makes them so happy. I want to be like them." You're not going to get that, right? You're not going to lead people to Jesus by complaining. That's not how it works. We need to set the example to our friends, to our coworkers, our own family, our children especially. Set the example for them about what a godly life is supposed to look like as a Christian, a life of joy. When you encourage, when you praise, when you rejoice, when you pray, when you give thanks, that's when you glorify God. That's when you shine your light for others to see, wherever you are. If others choose to complain, unfortunately, you can't fix them, right? You can't fix them. But the best thing you can do for that person is to rise above their example. Because what does light do? Light exposes darkness, doesn't it? And we're not doing it to make anybody look bad, but you're doing it to show an alternative. You're doing it to say, you know what, there's another way of living this life. And it doesn't have to be a miserable one. Show this world what life can look like without complaining. Show this world the joy that Jesus can bring to an individual's life. When you do that, you're going to be much happier yourself. But more than that, you're bringing glory and honor to God, and that is exactly what Jesus wants for your life. I appreciate very much your time this morning. Before we close, we want to offer an invitation to anyone who needs to claim that reason for rejoicing always. If you're a faithful child of God who has repented of your sins and who has been baptized to have those sins washed away, but you're not walking in the light, if you've lost that reason for joy, make that right this morning. If you've not done that, if you've not taken those steps, if you've not been baptized for the remission of sins, we'd love to help you with that. Whatever we can do to help make your life right, if you'd like, you can come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.